are now in the 15th segment of the Promises of Yahweh. Last 4 years or so, we went over all the commandments in the Torah, all the commandments of the Messiah, and all the commandments of the apostles. Add all of together, it was, 150 videos or more. And maybe more than that. Whatever it was, we like to understand what Yahweh expects of us. But now, let's take a look at what He promises us in return for our devotion to Him, His love for us. So we're in a new covenant. A covenant is an agreement. If we only look at our responsibilities in this agreement, and we don't think about the promises, we may not endure as well as we would want. In fact, Scripture says in the book of Hebrews, we're looking to Yahshua, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for that joy that was set before Him was able to endure the staros, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. And so if He is the author and finisher of our faith, and He is the one that we're looking to, He had joy that was in front of Him that helped Him to endure all things. And we all have our own personal staros that we have to carry, take up our staros, our stake, and follow Him. And so we like to examine the promises of Yahweh. And when things get difficult and painful, these we can draw strength from because we have hope residing in us. And faith is a substance of things hoped for. And these are the promises that we're going to hang on to in those moments. So let's look at some ones we've covered so far. Number 23 is, if we are afflicted, abused, oppressed, violated, and vexed by others, Yahweh Himself is also hurt and grieved and will hear our cry, give us due justice, regard the evils done to us as something done to Him, free us from oppression, break the oppressor in pieces, and deliver all the oppressed of the earth. Number 24, the words of Yahweh and the Holy Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. He shall keep them and preserve them forever, and they are able to make us wise unto salvation. Teach us sound doctrine. Reprove us, correct us, equip us for every good work, and enlighten our eyes, for they are altogether true and righteous. Number 25, Yahweh will teach us, will guide us, give us wisdom. Teach us right doctrine, and make His words known to us. Give us good understanding, and help us to know the truth, for He knows how to give good gifts to His children. 26, we will not be in want because He will supply our every need according to His riches in glory by Messiah Yahshua. To test us, correct us, and refine us, our tests, trials, and tribulations and afflictions will be many, but Yahweh will deliver us out of them all. Hallelujah. As we delight in Him by honoring Him and desiring to do His will, He will give us the desires of our hearts. That's a promise we can count on. And number 29, those who sow the word of Yahweh in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves. Blessed be Yahweh. So, questions we're going to address in today's study. Number one, how are some professing believers who vehemently reject the mindset of prosperity preachers actually be guilty of some of the same things? Number two, how might prosperity preachers actually be less guilty in some ways than some who condemn them? What standard of giving are believers expected to abide by? What happens to believers who lend to their enemies, hoping not to receive back? Are we promised that we will be rich in this age if we give to the poor? Number six, what did Yahshua say He would do for us when He returns? so we don't just have to imagine. What is wrong with the saying, I work hard for what I have, so I deserve to live well and keep all that I've earned? How easy is it for someone in America to come to poverty? If we give to the poor, how can we be sure they aren't just freeloading? Are there really needy people in the United States and other developed countries? What's wrong with the belief that the government will take care of the poor? And do we have to give to a ministry when giving to the poor? These are the questions we're going to address in today's study. So I was looking through Psalms, and there was one that I could have used last week, but I kind of saved it for this week because Proverbs spells it out really more plainly. And so now we're actually in Proverbs. Now, the full list of the promises of Yahweh can be found at elyon.com/POY. Promises of Yahweh, POY. Full list. This Proverb 11, verse 24 through 25 says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Beautiful promise here in the book of Proverbs. And there are other Proverbs that speak of these same things. Proverbs 28, verse 27 says, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. If you think you got a curse on your life, ask yourself, are you caring for the poor? Proverbs 19:17. He who has pity on the poor lends to who? To Yahweh. And he will pay back what he has given. Pretty good bank. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So, we got some promises here. You will not lack. The generous eye will be blessed. And you who sow bountifully will also reap bountifully. Beautiful promises. Now, I have heard these promises quoted by guys like Robert Tilton and prosperity preachers, you know, who have made millions of dollars turning a ministry into a business. And so much is said today about the prosperity preacher, and I get it. These smiling television evangelists, no wonder they're smiling, they got million-dollar homes, and they're seen as being the people who've made it in this world. Made it doing what? Preaching. In this world. I didn't know that preaching was a million-dollar business. But some of them, like this fellow here, will say, well, I don't really take my salary from the church. And he doesn't, according to him. But if it wasn't for the church providing the facility, the television exposure, and day-to-day expenses of those things, he wouldn't be a million-dollar guy selling books. And I don't think we're supposed to be profiting off of the word of Yahweh in the sense of, I'm going to charge you to hear Yahweh's word. I'm sorry, poor guy who has no money. You can't have the word of Yahweh. Only the fellow who can afford it can hear the word. I have major problems with that. So, but think about this. He justifies himself by saying, this $1 million or this $1 million home, whatever it costs, is there because I made money selling my books. I have to wonder, what if all that money went to some better use, like helping struggling widows and fatherless children and drug rehab facilities instead of mansions, private jets, and fancy cars? Wouldn't that be better? I say it would be better. In fact, there might be more souls saved as a result. So, what is worth more? The fancy cars, the house, or the souls of men and women and children? That's a question these men need to ask themselves. I mean, what price can you put on a human soul? What price can you place on an afflicted child who's hungry? You can't. You cannot put a price on a soul. It is priceless. How do I know that? Because Yahshua died for us even when we were sinners. He thought we were worth the price of his blood, and therefore we must be priceless because his blood is priceless. And for some, with their fancy cars and their riches, they think what their self-centeredness is worth more than the price of a soul. But you know, one human soul is worth more than all the money in Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Jeffrey Bezos, whatever his name is, all their accounts together could not equal the worth of one soul. Not even one. Created in the image of our Father in heaven. So precious, so priceless. Yahshua gave his life for it. Yet in the minds of hungry money-hungry preachers, it's more important they live in a mansion than inherit the eternal mansions of Yahweh in the age to come. And creature comforts are more important than the comfort that comes from our Father in heaven. It's very easy to criticize them because they're peddling the word of Elohim. I like to go into his house and turn over a few tables. And these churches, the same way, selling their books and tapes and CDs or whatever. And it turned into this place into a marketplace. And so now it's easy to criticize the one who lines their pockets and doesn't care enough about the needy. But I want to draw your attention to something that John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. He said, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that Elohim is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, two shirts, let him give to him who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise." Interesting. If you just have two shirts and somebody has none, you give to them. If you have food and somebody has none, you give to them. That's the expectation here in Luke chapter 3 by John the Baptist, the fiery preacher at the Jordan River. And his command was this, and he said, "The axe is laid to the root of the trees. You don't bear the good fruit, you're cut down and thrown into the fire. If you don't do these things," he says, "basically, you are hellbound." Ouch. Wow. Heavy stuff. I would say that's a pretty high standard of giving. In fact, I would call that radical giving. In other words, if you just got one set of clothes, just one. Now, look at your wardrobe. How many sets do you have? This wasn't some suggestion. It wasn't, you know, hints from Heloise. This is, they need to repent of not doing this. That's the standard of giving. Now, some of us who condemn those money-hungry preachers might actually be guilty of making some of the same decisions. Maybe it's not just money given to ministry that's considered to be Yahweh's, but maybe everything really is Yahweh's. And maybe we're acting like it's ours when really it's his. And the preacher might be in a better place. At least he's preaching to people and sharing the gospel. And maybe some people in the pews or out there in the internet land who come in, listen to a message, and they leave. They're not really doing anything to spread the word. And so he might have saved hundreds or thousands of souls last year by giving the basic message of the gospel, although it's corrupted with money and filthy lucre. And whereas some of us maybe listening today haven't even done anything in that nature, not even reached out to one person. Now, this is a series on the promises of Yahweh. I'm not here to condemn people. This is about the promises. But I want you to get the promises. So I've got to say what's necessary in order for us to receive those promises. And so the vision we see here in Scripture is we're not really here on the earth to live, make money, have children, and die. That's not really Yahweh's purpose for us. That's the way most people think life's supposed to be about. We're actually here to live, to love, and to help one another. That's what we're here for. We are here to make this world a better place than how we found it. We are here to be instruments of our Heavenly Father's love. That's why we're here. We're not here to live out the typical American dream that's seen, that one day most people will realize really was the American nightmare. We are here to show the self-sacrificing love of Messiah Yeshua, who gave his whole life for others. What was his life mission? It was to give. To give. Radical, radical giving, right? So 1 John 2:6 tells us, he who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. So my question for all of us is, isn't that our life mission? To give as he gave? If we're to walk as he walked, is his life mission our life mission as well? Again, I'm not saying this to condemn anyone. I want everyone here to receive the promises. And so Scripture says he who says he abides in him should walk just as he walked. And this is one way he walked, was to serve. That was his life mission, to serve. It says, he who has pity on the poor lends to Yahweh, and he will pay back what he has given. There's a direct connection between giving to the poor and giving to Yahweh. Direct connection. And so if we neglect the poor, we are neglecting Yahweh himself. That's why we see Yahweh speaking to the prophets so many times, the nation of Israel, and how they're not caring for the poor, the needy, the fatherless, and the widow. And John the Baptist, Yahshua was also displeased. In fact, there are over 200 times where the word poor is found in Scripture. And Yahweh speaks a lot about it because it's one of the most neglected things. The deceitfulness of riches. You get caught up in something, you want something just a little bit nicer, just a little bit nicer, just a little bit nicer. And see, but there are a few things that a person can do that would be a greater light to this world than serving people in need. And serving the poor is an irrefutable example of love, and nobody can really argue with it. They might try to make you look bad because they're feeling bad inside their conscience, but no one can really refute it. Yahshua said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples, if you have tassels and keep Shabbat and keep the feast. No, if you have love for one another." I've been keeping Shabbat, eating clean, wearing tassels 34 years, and no one's ever said, "Wow, I just love the way you do this." No, they want to. There's something tangible. That's not very evangelistic, but giving to the poor, reaching out and showing love, opens a door for ministry. And souls that are transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, it's when they understood the love of Yahshua. And we don't, you know, we're not just doing this to witness, okay? We're doing this because we care about people. We truly do. We truly care about people. And we do it because it's the right thing to do. And it's the love that Yahshua so clearly gave us. We were poor, miserable, blind, and naked spiritually. And he enriched us. Now, there are many of you who are supporting ministries, supporting the poor, and you are a great blessing to me, great blessing to many. I cannot praise Yahweh enough for our charity here in Ava, how many people have contributed to that charity, and it's greatly appreciated. And so thank you, all of you. But, you know, charity is not just the caring of the monetarily poor, but the spiritually poor. And that's where the teaching ministry comes in. And many of you have been very supportive of that. But there are some who they haven't quite caught the vision yet. And I'm not saying this because I want you to give to the ministry. I'm saying this because it's right. You don't have to give to this ministry. You might have your own ministry. There might be another ministry that you think is more worthwhile. That's fine. None of this is self-serving. You see, when Yahshua came, he actually said, give alms of such things as you have, and indeed all things are clean to you. He doesn't talk about pork being clean. It's just that we have a defiled mind, a self-centered mind. If we have a defiled, self-centered mind, then nothing is pure. Everything is defiled. And so he also said, do good and lend, actually hoping for nothing in return. Really, in your mind, boy, I really hope that I don't get any of this back, you know. Then my reward will be great. And then I'll be sons of the Most High. Why? He's unkind to the unthankful and the evil. So when you give, you're like, wow. I really hope I don't get much in return out of this thing, because I'm really looking for the reward that Yahweh has for me in the age to come. And I really want to be sons and daughters of the Most High. And so, I mean, there's no greater gift than that, no greater thing than that. And so, when you actually, who's the greatest servant of all? Yahweh the Father. Yahweh the Father. He supplies the air we breathe. Keeps the cells we have alive. All things come from the Father, and so he is greater than all. And so we have to embrace a mentality that he has. He's constantly serving us all the time, right? And so he says, love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. Hoping for nothing. So look who this is talking about. Not just your friends and your relatives, but your enemies. That's the context. The people that hate you the most, you're going to lend to them and hope they don't give anything back to you. That's the mind of Messiah here. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And we want to embrace this mentality because we want that mind of Messiah. And so when he says there's one who scatters yet increases more, and is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty, and the generous soul will be made rich. He's not talking about necessarily earthly riches here. He's talking about heavenly riches. Your reward will be great. And so when it's saying these things, and it's saying he who has pity on the poor lends to Yahweh, and Yahweh will pay it back, don't think of this as a get-rich-quick scheme or something, you know, like they sell on TV. If you sell in the ministry, you'll get $1,000. You know, that's not what we're doing. We're looking at true riches, heavenly riches. Mark chapter 12, verse 43. Yahshua sat opposite of the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. He called the disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Think about that. Her whole livelihood. Why is this woman still poor then? Why isn't she rich? See, Yahweh don't always pay back here on earth. Payback could be in heaven. And actually, what would you prefer? What would be better? I would say the heavenly would be better. And so Yahshua says, "Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Speaking of those who are on the narrow path, the little flock, the ones who are willing to practice radical giving. That's who he's talking to. And so think of the treasure in heavens. When you think of Yahweh will pay back that which you have given. Think of you're going to increase more, even though you scatter what you have, you're going to increase more because of the treasure that's in heaven. And he who withholds more than is right, well, he ends up having impoverished treasures. There is no treasure in heaven. The generous soul will be made rich because of the treasures in heaven. And he who waters will be watered himself. I'll say this. As I am sharing the word of Yahweh with others, you know what's happened to me? I'm getting fed. The same scriptures are feeding me, they're feeding you. Yeah, that same bread that I'm eating, I've already ate, I'm sharing with you, it feeds me again while I'm sharing it with you. It waters me again as I'm sharing with you. And I would say it's one reason I've been strong all these years. Not because of me, but because of these words of life, these ancient words that feed people generation after generation. Now, he who gives to the poor will not lack. He who hides his eyes has many curses. Once again, if you think you're always cursed, nothing really good is happening to you, ask yourself whether you've hidden your eyes from those who are in need. Once again, you're lending to Yahweh. This payback is in the age to come. The generous eye will be blessed. He who gives of his bread to the poor. You sow sparingly in the age to come, you're going to reap sparingly. You sow bountifully in the age to come, you will reap bountifully. We got to think spiritual minded. Now, you're not giving in order to get. But you need to know it's there. And he will reward those who are doing what is right. Okay, you give because you love Yahweh and because you love others. And with that motive, yes, there will be treasures in heaven. And the treasures in heaven that Yahweh spoke of, Yahshua spoke about, it's far better than a few additional digits in your bank account or a few extra bills in your wallet. Trust me. I would say if we could fully grasp and understand that Yahweh just isn't is. He says he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As one man said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Living a lifestyle of radical giving is living a lifestyle Yahshua gave us an example of. It shows we care about people, and it actually is evangelistic. Giving is evangelistic. Why? We're demonstrating that we love people and that we have a greater hope than what's in this world. A greater hope. "Let your waist be girded and your lamps be burning, and yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them." This is Yahshua speaking of himself. Imagine that. That song, "I Can Only Imagine." What will be happening? He tells us. He's going to serve us. He's going to serve us. You think, well, wait a minute. I thought we're going to go there to worship him and serve him. He's going to serve us. In the age to come, he's going to serve. Of course he's going to serve us. That's what love does. Love is mutual serving. He's not going to stop being a servant. He's not going to stop. Loving and serving, serving is loving. And so, isn't he just awesome? I love that. I love that. It's such a beautiful thing. And doesn't that inspire you, like you want to serve people around you, your family, your friends, and your enemies even? Because while we were his enemy, he gave his life for us. And so if he, the King of the universe, serves us in this way, ought we also to serve one another in this way? It says, if he should come in a second watch or a third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said to him, Master, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? He says, Master said, who then is a wise, faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them portion, their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Doing what? Giving portions. Giving portions. Physical food, spiritual food. Truly I say to you, I'll make him ruler over all that he has, because you're being a steward like he is. You are serving as he does. And so, now a steward in biblical times were those responsible for setting food on the table. It's not our food. We didn't make it. But we are supposed to set it on the table for people to eat. We are supposed to serve that. And so we have to look at all things. The word of Yahweh, the spiritual food, the physical food, it's all his, and we are simply stewards of what he has given us. And a lot of people, they're like, well, you know, I work hard for what I have. I work hard. And, you know, I deserve to live well for all my hard work and what I've earned. And so they pile up riches for themselves in their arrogance. The truth is, there are people who work a lot harder than you do, especially people in other countries, work far harder than you do and barely have enough food to survive. Truth is, think about the reality of our situation and be humble, because admit, you didn't gain your own possessions by your smarts and your savviness, but by the hand of Yahweh, who not only provided everything you have, but supplied you with the brains and the physical health to be able to do the things that you do. The upbringing from your parents may be to instill the work ethic that you have, whereas other children did not grow up with that same work ethic, and the protection from calamities and protection from accidents, so you're not laid up in a hospital for a year. See, it's not just all about you. And there are many people who are smarter than you are, who didn't have the great upbringing you might have had, maybe be harder worker than you are, and they can't labor because they have health issues and car accidents and other issues that you are blessed not to have. And so we need to humble ourselves, all of us, and be thankful to our Heavenly Father for every little thing that we are provided. And don't be haughty. And out of that thankfulness, use the things and resources he has given us to do what he would do with it, what Yahshua did, and that is serve. So rather than building a taller fence, how about you build a longer table? That's what it's for. That's what it's for others, to serve others. Let me explain to you how easy it is for a person to go from having all their needs met and everything going well to being just, I have nothing. How easy it is. Here in America, you're working at a good paying job. Great paying job. You're healthy, happy, all is well. Life's going just great. One day you're driving down the road and someone slams into you. You're in the hospital. for months and months and months trying to get back. Now you're laid up, unable to work, unable to provide for yourself. In some cases, you might become permanently disabled. How are you going to work? How are you going to work? And daily, you're in debilitating, excruciating pain. You can barely survive day to day, let alone go work that job that you once worked at. So you lose your job, which didn't offer disability insurance, and now you're all of a sudden on fixed income, receiving food stamps and SSI, with a paltry amount of money every month. You come to a place where you can't access those payments actually for 6-7 months down the road because it has to go through the courts and all this stuff has to happen. And then you're like, how am I going to eat? How am I going to survive? How am I going to pay my rent? I have to reduce. I can't have this car anymore. I can't have this house anymore. You see how easy it is? You see how it, or if you get cancer, or anything can happen. Anything can happen to anyone at any time. Anything. And people who are of faith are there, and we're supposed to be there to pick up the broken pieces and teach them how to give all that to Yahshua. See, we have this mentality among us sometimes, the government take care of that. Since when is it the government's responsibility to take care of it? Scripture says it's our responsibility, ours, to care for the people who are in need. And so we need to look at each one of these souls as if it was Yahshua himself. How do you know that if they heard the gospel, they wouldn't immediately respond and be willing to hear? And so another thing can happen. The person's car breaks down. They can't afford to fix it. Now they can't get to work. Now they can't get to their job. They get fired from their job because they can't get there. They finally get a car. Now no one wants to hire him because he just got fired. They need our help. And instead, people out there piling up their riches and taking ease. But these are the situations I run into all the time. People, they're in a jam. They need help. And so some of us just need to step down off of their high horse, humble yourself, and realize, if not for Yahweh, so go you. And so we have to realize, if it wasn't for Yahweh's blessing, we'd be in that same spot. What would we want others to do if we were in a helpless position that way? We have to look after each other. It's a normal part of being a believer. Step down off the high horse, please. Step down. Get rid of it. And come down to earth. When James, Kepha, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace been given to me, Paul said, they gave me and Barnabas, a right-hand fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. This is a normal thing that the early believers did. It was just like goes to the territory. Of course, they're going to do this. So, it's important. Think about this. I know what you're thinking, actually. I already know what you're thinking. Many of you are thinking, what about freeloaders? You know, they act like they have this going on, that going on. And really, they're lying. And they're just going from one place to another and soaking off of people. Yeah, they're out there. I get it. There are people like that out there. I knew of a career homeless man who claimed to be Torah observant. He called me all the time. He told me about 90% of the people that are homeless out there are homeless because they want to be. That's the lifestyle they've chosen. And they just go, they run out of resources in one city to go to another one. You know. And they're content to live that lifestyle and don't mind staying on the corner for a few hours, getting a handout, rather than actually working for a living. Yeah. that means there's 10% of the people in that situation because they really have needs. So what do you do? What do you do? Really, the only way to be 100% sure is follow them around every day. See what they're doing. Where they go, what's going on in their life. Not really realistic to do that. Or find someone who knows them very well. So what do you do? Now, most of you know I run a charity here in Ava, Missouri. And 3 days a week we run a coffee shop. Anyone can point to a card and a table. And the meal's no charge. We're all volunteers. Down at the grocery store, we own a thrifting grocery store. Somebody has food or clothing needs, we're happy to provide it for them. And so I've been running this thing now for almost 8 years, I guess about 8 years, and 7 years. And so, yeah, there are some out there, and there are some signs you look for. But look, Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, even if we, when we were with you, we command you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. We hear there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through the Master Yahshua, they work in quietness, eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. So just the fact there are some out there who don't want to work for a living and are trying to freeload, it says, do not grow weary in doing good. So this is a verified case of laziness. So it does happen. It does. Now, before I accuse someone of being lazy, I have to have the facts. I'm not biblically permitted to judge somebody without knowing the situation. And so I can't just say no because I think it might be. All right? I have to have the facts. And I pray for Yahweh to show me what's really going on. Now, usually one-time help or something like that, I don't, you know, have to worry about too much. For someone who wants chronic help all the time, ongoing, almost like welfare-type help, yeah, I'm going to say, hey, you know, I could really use some help here with dishes. We could use some help with sweeping up after the day's over. And so we have ways of filtering out the lazy folks. And also, we don't just hand people cash. We'll pay electric bill directly, help them directly wherever their need might be. In some cases, I'll ask to see their bank account and expect accountability. So especially if they're wanting ongoing help. So there are things that can be done, but the most important of all is prayer and discernment. And so, but this happens. And so this charity, givingandsharing.org, is the one that we operate here in Ava. And it's also running this theater. And I know there are some of you out there who are contributing, and we really appreciate it. And it really is going to people in need. And if there's somebody that's downright lying and scamming, they will be criminally charged with stealing. I have no problem doing that. I have no problem. In fact, we did that here recently. So, anyway, it's okay to ask for accountability. If they don't want to be accountable, then that tells you, red flag right there. Red flag. Now, what if they have children? And they're obviously on drugs. What do you do? I'll feed them. I don't care what their situation is. Those children don't deserve to be in that spot. And if that family's hungry, and even if the parents are not, you know, they're spending their food money on drugs, whatever. What about those children? And so when children are involved, if they're hungry, I'm not going to turn them away. So, but the goal, you see, the goal, though, isn't just to distribute food. The goal is to save souls. The goal is to feed spiritually. And so the goal is that this would show the love of Yahshua so that when you have opportunity, and there are people who normally would not give me the time of day that we have the chance to share with. And that's really what it's all about. Because most of these people may not even step foot in a church, but they see an opportunity when they're in need, to have the need met, get a chance to ask them, have you ever heard the gospel? You ever heard it? I don't shove it down their throat. But hey, are there really needy people in developed countries like America? Are there really? I mean, got food stamps, all kind of government services and all these things. Well, yes. Absolutely. You know, 1 out of 5 elderly people have to decide between food and medicine. There's not enough for both. That's according to statistics. As far as the young, for some reason, there are parents who simply, they don't feed their children. I met an 18-year-old young man. He got a dozen eggs a week. That was his food for the week from his drug mom. Not his fault. Can't blame him. He's hungry. And now he is married and he's doing better. He got free of the drug habit and he's clean and he's doing better. He was fatherless. You know, his story was very familiar around here. I mean, Douglas County is the third poorest county in the state. And so people down at Head Start Preschool, I asked him, you think 27% is accurate for food insecurity among young people? And says, oh, yeah. They said it's probably higher than that because you can tell a child comes in and they eat and they don't know when to stop. They eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And there's no, like, stop eating because I'm full now. They're not getting food at home. And it's a heartbreaking thing. I spoke to teachers. I've heard stories. Asked some of the children, looking forward to summer break? No. Why? I don't get to eat that much in the summer. The parents are relying on the school to feed them, and they will. They'll feed them lunch, and they'll even give them something to go home. So they make sure they get a dinner, because the parents won't feed their kids anymore. That's how bad it is in the nation we live in. And so, anyway, more. If you want to know more about what we do, it's at givingandsharing.org. Now, looking at this scripture here, one who scatters increases more. One who withholds more than is right withholds more than is right. How much is right? I'm reminded of Yahshua's parable. One from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" He said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pour down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' Elohim said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward Elohim.'" Almost sounds like Yahshua is saying you shouldn't even save for retirement. But this man was able-bodied, able to work. I understand when you're older, you can't work like you used to. And if it's okay to have a pension, I don't really have a problem with that. But if you have a pension on earth and there's no pension in heaven, that's where we have a problem. He was holding back more than is right. So I have a question. Next time you're looking to purchase a new car or a new truck, or they'll instantly lose thousands of dollars the minute you drive off the lot, ask yourself, what would happen if I invested in the kingdom. That same money going down the drain. Maybe I could settle for a used, decent vehicle that'll get me back and forth just as nice, except I won't be proud as a peacock while I'm driving it around. Maybe I can settle for something less. Maybe there are fatherless children. Maybe there are widows and single moms who've been abused and they're trying to survive. Maybe there are elderly people skipping meals. Maybe there are people in distress from job loss. Maybe there are car accidents and injuries on the job prevent somebody from working, and children with drug parents. And maybe there are people who are worried about getting their next meal. They can't afford a large expense on their car because it's too expensive to repair it and they have no transportation now. Maybe people facing job loss, laid off, can't find another job. Many other such situations that are completely out of their control. And maybe they need help. And maybe I don't know about it. And I take comfort in not knowing about it. But don't take comfort in not knowing about it, because those problems are out there. Those situations are out there. Absolutely out there. Job, with all his riches, he says, I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor. And I searched out the case I did not know. He was looking for someone to give to. He was looking around. Who else can I give to? No wonder he was blessed. Giving hand, they say, never empties. Yahweh will refill it. What if you decided to do like Job and seek out that cause you don't know, rather than pretending like it's not out there? Actually, that might be love, wouldn't it? That might be something called love. The next time you're thinking about the fancy house or a boat or something you really don't need on Walmart and Amazon, think about, what if I chose to take that money and give to somebody that is really in need? And don't have to be through our ministry. There are poor people that ask Yahweh to direct you to someone personally that you could help. Might even be better. You might save their soul too. So that's what John the Baptist is talking about when he said, you got two shirts, give it to the one that has none. You got food, share it with somebody in need. That's the environment, that's the culture we're supposed to be living in, even if it's not the culture that's here. That's the culture of a believer. It's the culture of a believer. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19 says, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that Yahweh your Elohim may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I commanded you to do this thing. It's like, you know what it feels like. Just leave the corners of your field alone. You know, don't go back and get what dropped on the ground. Someone might be in need. Don't beat your olive tree a second. You got enough. Don't be stingy. You got enough. Give it to the one who has none. And rather than saving for something you don't really need to survive in this world, maybe that extra bounty is for somebody else who is in need. Why not invest in saving a lost soul? Far better. Far better. Now, you can give to a ministry that teaches the word of Yahweh, or you can yourself teach the word of Yahweh. You might give away Bibles. You might buy a big stack of Bibles and give them away. I don't care. It doesn't matter where. As long as it goes to helping people in need. That's the main thing. But yeah, the more funding that comes into a teaching ministry, the more outreach can be done. It's that simple. Now, Yahweh don't need our money. Of course he don't need our money. He can do it no funding at all. But he commands us to give in some way, in some capacity. and these resources, he has set them aside for doing his work. That's why he says, you've robbed Elohim by not at least tithing. But what I see in Scripture, the standard is far, far higher than just tithing. Yahshua and 12 disciples lived like homeless men. But they turned the world upside down, as I often say. They turned the world upside down. They weren't caring about riches. They weren't caring about fancy houses and fancy anything. Think about how Yahweh sees humanity. This rich man over here, all these creature comforts over here and all this stuff, and here's this poor man starving. His children are starving. And this guy doesn't even think about anybody but himself. That's Yahweh's perspective on humanity. Of course, you see why he's so upset. And yet, he even promises, if you're willing to just help others and serve others in this capacity and care for the people that are physically and spiritually poor and need to hear the word of Yahweh and need their food and need their clothing, if you'll just do these things, I will make you rich in this on the other side of eternity. And you may never see it. When you give, you don't know. I know most of you, when you do give the ministry, you don't know where it's going to go, and how it's going to be used, and how it impacts people. But I can tell you, it absolutely does. Absolutely does. But you may not see the fruit of that until the other side of eternity. And so, take this to heart. Make yourself rich by giving. Make yourself poor on this earth that you might obtain great riches. And let's walk in love as Yahshua the Messiah walked in love. That's what true believers do. We walk in love. Therefore, we do not lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. We lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. And where our treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. I hope that we look at the promises of Yahweh, and we look at the example of Yahshua, and we say, I want those promises. I care about the spiritual riches. It was Esau who didn't care about the riches of Yahweh. He just wanted the earthly riches. And it was Jacob who says, I'm not letting you go until I get your blessing. There's a difference between Jacob and Esau. Jacob was kingdom-minded. Esau was earthly-minded. Jacob valued the blessing and treasures of Yahweh. Esau did not. Truth is, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness will deliver us from death. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. You know, I was shocked the other day. These billionaires, worldly people, billionaires, 250 of them made a pledge to give all of their money to charity either in their lifetime or when they die. Of all people, Bill Gates says it's the most shameful thing to die wealthy. Doesn't sound like Bill Gates, does it? But that's what he actually said. Him and 250 other billionaires, including Warren Buffett and many, many others, 250 of them, pledged that either they'll give their money away when they're here on the earth or they'll give their money away when they die. Their entire estate. What did these men learn? They learned all that money. Whoop-de-doo. You know, all the things that people were chasing. And even they came to realize it really is more blessed to give than it is to receive. It really is. And there's something that happens to you when you give. You feel like you're worth something. You're worth something to somebody. You know, when you give to people and they receive, and I love to see the light come on. And when people come into the coffee shop and they're in need and there's money there for them to get the need they have, and they're crying their eyes out in thanksgiving. Because people like you online have given. And because we have volunteers who are willing to labor and work for free just so that we can. That is a blessing. That is living. That is true living. In fact, that is kingdom life, brothers and sisters. That's kingdom life. Because when Yahshua comes back, He's going to serve us, and we're going to serve Him. And we'll be in a culture where everyone is serving one another, and everyone's needs will be met. That's the beautiful thing about it. When everyone's focused on what can I do for somebody else, then everyone who has a need, their need's met. They're surrounded by a people that serve. And that's the culture that Yahshua Himself is calling us to do and to practice. Yahshua said, actually, 1 Peter 3:5, 1:3, "Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yahshua Messiah, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yahshua Messiah from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of Elohim through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us." Yahshua says, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Psalm 41, "Blessed is he who considers the poor. Yahweh will deliver him in time of trouble. Yahweh will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. He will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. Yahweh will strengthen him on his bed of illness. He will sustain him on his sick bed." Doesn't promise you'll never get sick. He promises he will sustain you. And he will strengthen you. A lot of people might be saying, "Well, Tom, the elders of your ministry, it seem like they get sick sometimes, or they have heart problems, or this problem, that problem." I say, but look, Yahweh strengthened them on their bed of illness. He sustained them on their sick bed. They're a part of a ministry that considers the poor, not just, food poor, and clothing poor, and housing poor, but spiritually poor. I really believe Yahweh blesses them because of that. And He wants to bless all of us who are willing to give. Psalm 3, verse 9, "Honor Yahweh with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." He sees that you're giving. He wants to give because He knows you're going to give more. Right? In case of Job, he couldn't outgive Yahweh. So, all right. "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Speaking of the feast, we have Feast of Tabernacles every year in the fall. And there are people who contribute to a feast-going fund to help those who otherwise would not be able to attend to be able to attend. And we've supplied their housing or their food, in some cases their transportation, to come and get the blessing of being around other believers during Sukkot. And there are some of you out there who are contributing to that feast-going fund, and we appreciate it. You would be amazed at the impact it has, especially on families with children, the impact it has on their lives. Another scripture, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in certain riches, but in the living Elohim who gives all richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. I love this scripture. One year, we were contemplating how we could receive maximum protection from Yahweh during Feast of Tabernacles, during Sukkot. And we realized that we were already doing what was necessary for Yahweh to be our protector during Sukkot. It says here in Isaiah 58:6, is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall spring forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of Yahweh shall be your rear guard. Your protector, your rear guard. He's looking out for you. And you shall call, and Yahweh will answer. You shall cry, he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall your light shall shine, shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as a noonday. Yahweh will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. If you want the truth from Yahweh's word, you're searching out truth, you want him to feed you spiritually, you must be willing to give. Again, none of these things I'm saying is so that you'll give to Eliyahu Ministries and Bread of Life Giving and Sharing or me or anything. I want to see you receive these promises of Yahweh. If you have a situation in your own hometown, you want to make, you know, set up your own coffee shop and do your own, hey, that's what I want to see. I want to see Torah keepers being known for their giving. I want believers in Yahshua, when people think of the name of Yahweh, they think of a loving, generous, kind, giving people. I don't want them to see this up here, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness. I don't want them to see that. I want them to see us extending our soul to the hungry and satisfying the afflicted soul. And then our light will be like dawn in the darkness. We live in a dark world. Our darkness will be like the noonday. And Yahweh will guide us continually and satisfy our soul, strengthen our bones like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. That's what I want to see. The people of Yahweh, this honors him. And he wants to give us these promises. Healing, truth, light, goodness, all these wonderful things that come from him. Many things are promised to those who do these things. I'm not going to fit all this in one slide. I think I found a way to do it. But it's all here. Okay, all these promises. We who have had pity on the poor. And these promises are for believers, and so these are for us. Including the spiritually poor, and generously give. You lend to Yahweh, who will be our rear guard to deliver us in times of trouble, not giving us over to the will of our enemies. We'll answer when we call upon Him. Guide us continually. Sustain us with strength, even on our sickbed. Ensure that we do not lack, and bless us with a bountiful, undefiled, and incorruptible payback of riches that will not fade away. Look at all these scriptures that speak of these promises. I hope these scriptures, if they haven't changed your life already, will change your life, will change your priorities. And for those of you who are poor and you're in need, why is Yahweh give all these promises? Why is He doing this? Why is He saying these things? I'll tell you why. Because Yahweh cares about you. That's why. He sees, He knows, He cares. And that's why He's charging His people with caring about you. Let's pray. Almighty Yahweh and Yahshua's name. Thank you for caring about us. When we were poor and miserable, blind and naked, you clothed us with the robe of righteousness. You fed us with the beautiful, undefiled, holy word. Yahshua gave His life for us to show us we matter to you. Yahweh, there's some who may need to have their priorities checked and straightened out. Whoever it is, convict them, enlighten them, and as they heed these principles, bless them and set them on a vision for giving. For any in the sound of my voice who doesn't know Messiah Yahshua, pray that they will come to repentance and faith in Him. They might receive true, true life, eternal life. And Father, forgive all of us who've in any way lived a self-centered lifestyle. We are so wealthy here in this nation. There's no reason why we can't at least tithe, but really so much more. We live in abundance. We thank You for Your promises. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for providing for us. Help us to see, Father, all Your provision is so that we may provide for others who then will provide for others. Who then will provide for others and turn this dark world into true, holy light. For truly Yours is the kingdom and power and glory and majesty forever and ever. In Yahshua's name we pray. Amen.